Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our good friend, Glenn Meldrum, he talks about Barnsdall. He said one thing he knows every time he comes to Barnsdall, Sister Kathy will be worshiping. It used to be, and I've told you this before, it used to be so annoying. Because she would just walk around the house singing all day. And I mean, a little bit is good, and even a lot is good. But when it's constant, just my flesh. But I knew better than to say anything. Because I knew who she was singing to. We welcome you, Lord. We are so glad you're here. Just come, Holy Spirit. Father, send your Spirit in the fullest measure that we can handle in this day. Lord, we need you. We need you. So good. You're so good. Can you just worship Him just for a few more lingering seconds as we just celebrate His goodness and His presence? That's the thing that does it for me, is as far as just knowing I'm where I'm supposed to be. Like when I'm traveling or visiting another church or whatever, going to another meeting, because we all do things so different. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, every house is different. And, you know, people just, they do things that we don't do, and we do things that people don't do, and we can let that difference mess with us. But if I can just close my eyes, and I sense the presence, because His presence is, I hate to even use the word familiar, but it is, because I am familiar with Him. And so even though there's different stuff going on around that we may not understand, as long as He's here, as long as He's here, I don't know why He puts up with our foolishness, but I surely am glad that He does. I want to talk to you about something today that I think we have a tendency to look at it as fundamental, and I'm not saying that it's not. But it's more than fundamental, it's more than foundational. When Peter was talking about this, he listed it as the apex of Christian maturity, is Christ likeness. And we're going to talk about love today. And I know people, they're probably going, you know, you talk about this a lot. Well, it's one of the most important topics in all of Scripture, so we probably should talk about it a lot. There's some things that hinges on our walk of love. Everything else is carried by it. The weight of our walk is carried in love. I want to read that for you there in 2 Peter. I didn't plan on doing this, but I'm going to do this because it's so good. 2 Peter, the first chapter. I probably preached from this text more than any text in all of Scripture. It's been a while since I've went here, but this is what it's all about. Peter, he said in the third verse, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence, by which he has given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature. And having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, for this reason, make every effort to add virtue to your faith, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control patient endurance, and to your patient endurance godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, that's love among the brethren, and to your brotherly kindness love. And that love is speaking about our loving everyone. And there is nothing, in my opinion, that is more of the divine nature than us walking in love. I mean, to me, that's as close as we're going to get to walking in the divine nature. And if you've walked with God any amount of time, you know, you have to know that he loves you. Because you're still walking with him, and anybody that didn't love you would have given you the boot a long time ago. You've never disappointed him. He knew you were going to do everything that you did before you did it. One of the low points of my walk, and it was become one of the high points of my walk, I'd just gotten frustrated. You've heard me tell this story. I'd gotten frustrated with where I was at, and that was my prayer. God, I should have been so much further along than I am right now. And that prayer is just as relevant today as it was back then, but I don't look at it the same. And I had crawled, literally, I had crawled into this plum thicket. You couldn't have found me. I mean, you'd had to have a beagle dog to run me out of there. I had crawled hands and knees to get it because I just wanted to get away from everybody. I saw an interesting quote this week is talking about the different personalities between an extrovert and an introvert. An extrovert looks at the world as a place to flourish and prosper and to go be with people and to help people. An introvert looks at the world as a place to be escaped from. I am an introvert. And that seems so weird that God would call an introvert to pastor. It just doesn't seem right. But that's what I do. I hide away and I pray and I seek. And then I come here and I give you what he's given me. So that's weird for a pastor, because pastors are supposed to be more hands-on. I didn't ask for the job. I had crawled back into that plum thicket. And I said, God, I should have been farther along now than I am. And he spoke to me as clearly as I've ever heard him. And this set me free. He said, Barry, the day that I saved you, I knew you were going to be in this plum thicket. And I saved you anyway. I don't, It makes no difference where you're at right now. If you belong to Jesus, doesn't matter what you've done, and there's, you have to rectify these things. There is repentance. There is confession. There's a reality that we have to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. But the reality is, He knew that you were going to be in this place the day that He saved you. He knew you were going to be here, and He saved you anyway. He knew every stupid word you were going to say. He knew every stupid thought you were going to have. He knew every difficulty, every trial, every testing. He knew every sin you were going to commit. And He sacrificed your sin on His Son. And He saved you in spite of it. For one reason and one reason alone. It's found in John 3:16. You know it. It's probably the most familiar verse, probably the most quoted verse. And we're just going to look at the first four words today. For God so loved. For God so loved. And see if I've done my job. These very familiar words that we just gloss over and glance at and go by and are not impacted at all. If I've done my job, if I've spent time with the Lord, if I have stood before Him and He has covered me with Himself, then these words will penetrate your heart. And you'll be touched profoundly today. And you will never, ever, 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 ever be the same again. Because these are the most powerful words in the universe. For God so loved. And as we become partakers of the divine nature, we so love. If you want to be like your Father, then you're going to have to learn to love. And I think it's more than learning. This phrase has come to me over and over this week. In order to be effective in the love of God, you will have had to been affected by it. I've heard the testimonies, read the testimonies of countless men that God has used in years gone by. I can't tell you all their names. There's so many stories. I can name some. James Robison is one that comes to mind. A man that was preaching to stadiums full of people, and yet he was bound up in the sin of adultery. And he said, Jesus revealed His love to him, transformed his life. And he took a man that was preaching to multitudes, and he stopped preaching. He just started having a team, putting together a team, and he's got a television show, and they're doing more impact through his simplicity now than God ever did. And he was a powerful preacher. I listened to James preach a sermon one time for an hour and 45 minutes. He preached fiercely for an hour and 45 minutes. He's a great preacher. But he's doing more good drilling water wells for people that have no clean drinking water today than he ever did preaching to stadiums full of people. And the impact comes as a result of Jesus revealing His love to him. And in order for your love to be effective, in order for God's love to be effective in your life, you're going to have to be affected by it. I could even say you need to be infected with it. And people think that the love of God is something emotional. It is not. It has nothing to do with emotion. Nothing. It makes no difference how you feel. That feelings, you show me in the scripture where the Lord tells us, yes, your feelings are very important. Your walk hinges on your feelings. I love what Bill Johnson said. He said, a lot of people, they just keep asking, why? He said, we've not been called to walk by understanding. And there's importance in understanding. We need to understand what the Bible says. But we don't live by understanding. The just shall live by their faith. And you can't operate in faith unless you walk in love. Do you realize that? Well, what did Paul say? I better get you some Bible. I did read some. Galatians 5 and 6, Paul said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith, working through love. That's what works. Faith working through love. And that word working is energeo. It's a Greek word that has been translated to the English. It means energy. It means love is the gasoline for your faith. People want to know why their faith is so weak and so fragile and so dependent on circumstances or feelings. Because it's not. It hinges on your love. If you've been affected by the love of God, your faith will work. Circumcision, uncircumcision, it don't matter if you're Baptist or Methodist, and I'm going to get crazy with it. There's some born-again Catholics out there. That's too much for some folks. Baptists don't matter. Methodists don't matter. And I'm a Methodist preacher, by the way. So is Leonard Ravenhill. I'm not as good a preacher as Leonard. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Episcopal. None of that avails anything. The only thing that avails anything is faith that works through love. That's what avails. That's what produces. That's what's going to make a difference in the lives of the people that we love. I'm telling you, they're powerless against this. We have promises. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household shall be saved. I stand on that. You know, And I don't know the right way to say this. I don't know the right way to say this. The only reason that I know that we're going to pull through everything that we're going through right now is because of a prophetic word that came through a prayer meeting talking about this current battle that we're in. And the gist of that word is through this tremendous battle, and it is a battle. I mean, we've seen more people in the hospital, more craziness going on. Lane texted me this morning, said he couldn't come. He's having some difficulties. Miss Linda, I mean, the list just goes on and on. Miss Kathy, different things that have been raging. And the only reason that I know we're going to pull through all the way is because the Lord said there'll be no casualties. I mean, there's been heart attacks. There's been cancer. Michelle's mother just went back to the doctor just a week or two ago. They prayed for her at the outreach, the block party, and some other people had prayed for her. She goes to the doctor, and she had been tested, and it showed she had cancer. And then they go the other day, and she's cancer-free. God is moving. He said there'd be no casualties. But I don't know how to say this because we don't always have that word. Sometimes there are casualties. And it's not because we haven't had faith. Now, people want to do that. They want to say, if you'd had faith, this wouldn't have happened. And I'm like, be careful. You might get to walk that one out. There's a fine line between trying to help somebody and bring correction into their life. There's a fine line between trying to help somebody and stepping over into the realm of the demonic. There is an accuser of the brethren, and he is not the Holy Ghost. So if that's what you do, if you are a fault finder, if you're really good at seeing what's wrong, you might want to see whose fruit you're bearing. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not fault finding. Do you know what the first fruit of the Spirit is? I'm telling you, love's a big deal. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So we see the greatest thing is love. Without it, whatever we do doesn't matter. And even our faith works by it. Paul tells us that our faith is energized by our love. And the reason that so many people struggle with love, at least one of the reasons, is because we have seen so few examples of it. I mean, it's patient, it's kind, it always believes the best. It does rejoice in truth. It does not rejoice in iniquity. The first place we should see it is in the home, and just too often, we don't. I had a guy tell me one time, I knew my mother loved me. Now, we can say that that's rare, but it's not. It's not. And the reason our dad didn't love well is because nobody loved him well, and nobody loved him well, and nobody loved him well, and nobody loved him well. And we can say, well, that's just all excuses, but it's a reality. And if you've never experienced love and you get saved, that's really good. But you may walk for a long time with Jesus before you ever start producing the kind of love that He wants us to produce early on. It takes years sometimes. We deal with trauma, we deal with bitterness, we deal with unforgiveness. There's just so many things, hurts and pains and guilts and shames. There's so many things that we deal with as human beings and so many raw emotions. And it's difficult to transition from emotional living to faith-filled living. But it's necessary. The just shall live by their faith, and our faith works by love. This is a big deal, folks. I'm telling you, this is a big deal. Way bigger than what we know. I think that's why Paul, he prayed it. in Ephesians 3, he said, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is in his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." See, we can know John 3:16 frontwards, backwards. We can have it memorized. We can pray it every day. But until we experience it for ourselves, you will never be effective in your love, the love of God, until you've been affected by it. You've got to be affected by the love of God. You've got to know that God loves you. You've got to know that he's patient with you. You've got to know that he's kind towards you. You've got to know that he believes the best for you, that he rejoices in the truth, not in iniquity. And here's the truth about you and God. If you are born again, he that has begun a good work in you, he will finish the job. He is not going to drop the ball. He is not going to throw you away. He is not going to discard you. He is not going to reject you. He's not going to turn his back on you. He is looking for you to come to the realization that the pig pen is no place for a child of God to live. And if you will come to yourself, get up out of there and run back to your Father, he will run and meet you. That's just who he is. That's who he is. He loves you with an unending love. He loves you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. He is for you. He is not against you. I mean, did you realize how insane that thought? And I've spent years probably dealing with this thought. Yeah, I listened to, read a little deal one time about Mickey Mantle, and he talked about all the times that he struck out and all the times that he walked. And he said, "Do you realize I played 7 years that I never touched the ball?" That'll sink in here in a minute for some of you. Some of you, I don't get it. The number of at-bats that he had added up to 7 years of playing time that he never touched the ball. He either struck out or walked all those times. And they say he's one of the greatest hitters ever. 7 years, he didn't touch the ball. Some of y'all ain't touched the ball in a long time. It's just swings and misses. At least you did get on base a few times with some walks. But your Father knows where he's taking you. And I'm a firm believer the reason that he loves us so endlessly and so beautifully and so perfectly is his eyes are at the end of the race. I believe that. Because even God should get ugly with me some of the things that I've done. But he chooses, I believe, this is my opinion, he chooses to look away from that and he keeps his eyes on where he's taking me. And I believe that's the transition that we need to take. I believe we need to start looking at the people that we are supposed to love. You know those ones that are hardest of all to love? Jesus said it. He said, it's not a big deal for you to love people that love you back. He said, even the pagans, even the heathen do that. He said, if you want to be like your father, love the unlovable. Love the ones that you'd really, if we're just going to be honest here, maybe you don't want to kill them, but you'd like to choke them for a little while. I'm talking about those people, and they're close enough to us that we got to love them because they're in our lives. There's people that aren't in your life. What does it matter how much you love them? You shouldn't be ugly toward them. You shouldn't be gossiping about them. You shouldn't be saying nasty things. But you have no effect on them. I'm talking about those people that are in your life that you need to get your eyes on where God's taking them, because you know God's going to hear your prayers. I'm a firm believer. God has given us promises. He said, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God said. That's the will of God. And John said, we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to the will of God, we know that He hears us. And so if God is not willing that any should perish, the people that are in our lives that are not doing what they need to do, maybe they're deluded, maybe they're angry, maybe they're addicted, maybe who knows what they're in. But it's not God's will for them to perish. And if we'll pray that God would save them, we've got to believe that God is going to answer that prayer. So why don't we look at where God's going to take them instead of spending all our focus on where they're at? How effective has it been for you to look at where they're at? How much peace did that stir? How much joy came as a result of that? I believe if we will love them according to where God is taking them, and if they're in our lives, if they're that close to us, we know God wants to save them. Maybe they are saved. He doesn't want them to be deluded. So we should be able to pray delusion out of them. That's just the way my mind works. I don't know how your mind works. John said, anything we ask according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, He's going to do it. Man, that opens up some doors for me. I'm just like that. I'm like, God, if you didn't mean that, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Because I'm wasting a lot of time on this stuff that if you didn't really say that, if you didn't really mean that, I could be doing something else. If God loves us that way, and you've got to know that He does, am I the only one that excels in stupidity here? See, I have more than one PhD in it. I have the highest levels of education in stupidity than a human being can have. And do you know He's never been impatient with me? Do you know that He's never been unkind to me? Do you know that at some of my lowest points, He would come and speak to me? Now, has He said some pretty tough stuff? Yeah, He has. One time I'm standing right over there getting ready to come up here, and the Lord says, how about let's make this about me today? Yes, sir. But I was also standing right over here one day, just about to come up, and the Lord says, and I'm at one of my toughest moments. He said, you are my beloved, and I am well pleased. How can you be pleased with me in the midst of this struggle? He didn't answer me. But in my mind, I have to believe it's because he's looking at where he's taking me, and he's not looking at where I'm at. And if you want to be effective in the love of God, you've got to be affected by it. You've got to know for you that you are his beloved, and in you he is well pleased. Well, how is that even possible, Brother Barry? Because 2,000 years ago, everything that was displeasing about me was nailed to his son, and he punished it there. And by faith that works through love, I receive that. This is some big stuff, folks. You may think this is rudimentary. You may think this is elementary. You may think this is foundational. You may think this is it's just real simplified kindergarten stuff. But I'm telling you, this is life transformational stuff. I thought we were supposed to be like little children. So maybe we do need to go back to elementary. Maybe we do need to go back to foundational. Maybe we do need to return to fundamental. One more passage and then I'll shut up. This may be my favorite. I don't even know if I can read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I'm telling you, God wants you to know that he loves you. The scriptures are God-breathed. God breathed upon holy men of God, and they pen the very thoughts and words of God. And these are the words of God for us, hallelujah. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Why? Because behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we will know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I want to talk about this last line. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And I know generally when we preach this, we're talking about those besetting sins. We're talking about things that are in our lives that are hindrances. And sometimes I think we look past some hindrances that I believe he's addressing. I want you to think about this in just a little bit different way. And I'm not discounting the reality that we need to repent. I'm not discounting that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't confess our sins. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying, that I believe that there are things that are hindering you, that are keeping you from believing that God loves you. He loves you right now. In the midst of the struggle, I believe there's things that's keeping you from believing that. Could you have emotions right now that are running away with themselves? Shame, guilt, remorse, rejection, trauma, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, and the list goes on and on of emotions that are unstable and not to be trusted. And you've got to know, I've already said it, God's love is not an emotion, and certainly it can exhilarate us. There's nothing more beautiful than experiencing the love of God, but the love itself is not an emotion. It is filling us with indescribable emotions, but His love is not emotion. God wants you to know that He's patient with you. He is kind towards you. He believes the best about you. He knows where He's taking you. And it's so much better if you can get your eyes off where you're at and knowing that you are going to make the finish line. Hallelujah. He's faithful. You got to make that a focus. I think sometimes we've paved heaven with the road to heaven with thin ice, and I just don't believe it. Because if it were thin ice, I would have already fallen through. I wouldn't be standing before you today if the road to heaven was paved with thin ice. I would have already split hell wide open. His grip is stronger than our failures. I'm telling you, God has started a good work in us, and He is faithful to finish it. That passage there in 1 John 3, that belongs to you. You should memorize 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And if you're struggling with this, you need to start praying this and confessing this every day. But this morning, the way, I don't know if it's morning or afternoon, I don't have a watch. And I don't know that there's enough. I think there might be. But I would pray that everyone in here would receive communion this morning. And communion around these altars and at the front row of chairs, that we'd all just kneel together and remember what Jesus has done for us. Now, if you have sin in your life, confess it. Forsake it. You can do that today. The prophetic word came through worship. The chains are broken. No more chains. God's raising up an army. No more chains. Now, you can either believe that or you can reject that, but I'm going to believe it. The Bible says to not discount prophecies. Despise not prophecies, the King James reads. I heard it prophesied, the chains are broken. I stood right there, lifted my hands to heaven, said, thank you, Jesus. I'm tired of these chains. I remember one time I had a prophetic word for a guy, and I saw, I didn't see it, I didn't know vision, but just, I don't know how to explain it. There was just a knowing in me. That an angel of the Lord withdrew his sword, and this man had chains across both, two chains across his chest. It was in the form of an X. And I said, I hear the Lord say, his angel has drew his sword, and he strikes the, and I heard it. I don't think it was audible, but if you've ever heard a sword come out of a sheath, and that sword hit those chains, and you would think that a sword hitting chains would destroy the sword, but that sword was made out of something that those chains could not resist. And it was just like they went through it like butter, and it was just a metal on metal. And I said, oh, the Lord says the chains are broken. And I'm telling you, if you knew where he was at right now, you would know that the chains were broken. The Lord said, the chains are broken. The chains are broken. And so I would appreciate it if you need to take a moment and confess and say, God, I'm sick of this. And it's not a matter of trying harder. Trying harder is never going to get you anywhere. You need to know that. It's Jesus. I don't know why we think if we'll just try a little harder, it'll get better. Charles Johnson, I quote him a lot. He said, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I need Jesus. If you need to confess, repent, just take a moment to do that. And I would just pray that everyone, I hope there's enough communion for everyone. If not, we can go get a jug and some cups and we can pour it up as we go. I believe if, as we receive communion this morning, and I know some of you already have, it ain't gonna hurt you to do it twice. As we receive communion this morning, I believe there's gonna be people, I hope all of us, but I believe there's gonna be people that are affected by the love of God. And your ability to be effective in the love of God and loving those people that are unlovable is going to be enhanced this morning. I believe God's here to help us. I believe that. So if you would just come and take the elements, and if you need to sit, you can sit on the chairs or on the altar. But if you want to kneel, you can kneel at the altars, and please wait. We'll receive it together. While people are gathering the elements, I just want to say thank you all so much for praying for Miss Kathy. We can't say thank you enough. Folks have been bringing us food. That's been really good. I know the prayers are more powerful, but the food tasted good. Is it going to be enough for everybody? Make it? Good. And you know the Henry Berry wants you to tell everybody that didn't come today how good the service was. But don't do that because they'll feel bad. They'll think the reason that it was good is because they weren't here. And I know how that goes because that's the way I've felt before. That's just for our chuckle. I do appreciate y'all more than I can ever say. We're probably still filming, so that was just a joke. It was a bad joke. We miss you guys. We love you. Right, Miss Kathy? Can you hand me one? Everybody have elements? Anybody else need some? Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, the reason I usually use this is because I just love the way that this apostle, born out of due season, receive from the Lord. And I just love the way the scripture just goes together. It's amazing to me that Paul had not spent time with the disciples, but for 3 years had went away to be with the Lord. And yet it is so beautifully, perfectly marked as the Lord himself in saying this to Paul. Paul writes, he said, I've received of the Lord that which I deliver to you, that the Lord Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he's betrayed, took bread and he gave thanks. Lord, we thank you. You say in Hebrews that the Lord gave you a body and you took that body and you surrendered it. You yielded it to him, lived a sinless life, and then took on our sin, Lord. We thank you, Father, for such an incredible plan of salvation. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your willingness and your obedience to follow through all the way to the death of the cross. Thank you that you yielded that body as punishment for my sin and for the sin of this people, God. And Father, you know our hearts. You know, God, we want to live a sinless, perfect life. But if we'll just be honest, Lord, we have just failed again and again and again and again. And yet you have proven faithful over and over. And we thank you for the body of your son, Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice. And as we take this bread, we do it in remembrance of what he did on that cross. The suffering and the shame and the endurance that he took on for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In like manner, he took the cup. And we thank you, Lord, for your precious blood that you poured out for us. Thank you for the crown of thorns where you shed your blood from that precious head. For your hands and your feet pierced for us. For your back that you gave to the transgressors, that by your stripes we are healed. Thank you, Lord, that you allowed your body to be pierced, that the blood and water poured from your side. We receive, Lord, the blood of the new covenant. The blood of the new covenant poured out in your precious blood, Lord. You said to the apostle, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, pour out your love upon your people. In a way that is life transformational, that we can know and receive, Lord. That it's more than just knowledge, it's experience. Of experiencing that amazing love that you gave us so freely through your precious son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you so loved. Thank you, Father, that you so loved. God, help us to experience it. Help us to walk in it. We want to be ambassadors of your love in the earth. God, you said that is our mission as a church, that we're to lead people from darkness into the light of your love. And so, Father, I pray that we would embrace that we would be renewed in that, and God, that we would walk in that unlike anything we ever have. In Jesus, we always pray. Amen. God bless you guys. You're free to stay as long as you'd like. Like I said, thank you so much. Thank you for everything. I'm really glad to have Kathy home.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.